Right. Man, well, it's so good to be with you all today. I feel very welcome and thankful to be able to share. So let me just get this open here. So yeah, we are Levi and Julia Lilly. My wife's right down here, and we've got our three kids. Clark is 4, Brooke is going to be 2 in November, and Brielle is 4 months. And we are going to Papua New Guinea to join a team called Technical Services, which is specifically trying to meet construction and maintenance needs on the mission field to keep the gospel going forward. And we're part of Ethnos 360 is our sending agency, formerly known as New Tribes Mission, which will probably help with a lot of confusion as we go through things because they change names a lot. But yeah, today we wanted to tell our story, just kind of where we've been, how we've gotten here, and we just wanted to encourage you too. The gospel is going out. It is happening. People are hearing the truth for the first time in their people's history, and it's always going on, and so we can be encouraged by that. And also want to just focus on something specific today, the body of Christ. What are all the different parts of the body of Christ? Are we all to be the goers? Are we all to be church planters or teachers? No. And we all know that. That's all pretty clear. But we're gonna walk through some scripture today and learn about the body of Christ, and then maybe just try to tuck those things in your mind as you hear our story and what's going on in New Guinea. And it'll give you some food for thought for how we're supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. So, not being a Bible teacher myself most of the time, I'm going to give you the application first. Just that way, I've done it. No matter what, you've heard it, you know, I don't forget. So, it goes this way. Basically, I just have a couple of questions I want you to consider. What part of the body of Christ am I in my life? Like, you individually, in your mind, what has God designed me to be? You know, that a lot of times we think maybe that's just what we do, but it's totally who God's made us too, right? Like, you just look around the room, the different people you know, there's all kinds of different personalities, traits, and abilities that people have. And so that's part of what God's made you, as a different part of the body. But then also your roles, right? And they change. You know, you might be serving in a different way in your local body in 10 years, or 20 years, or let's say, you know, 40 years, something like that. So it's always something that we should consider. So, what part of the body of Christ am I? What does that look like? Is it good that God made me that specific part? And it's kind of obvious, right? Of course it is. That's how God made me. But I think we doubt that a lot of times. We think, I'm not this, right? So think about that. Is it good that God made me that specific part? And then just think, what if all these body parts of God, right, of the body of Christ, what if they actually cooperate? What does that look like, you know? Because a lot of times we find ourselves like, you know, the elbow's not working, like we're all disjointed, right? It's like, but what if we were actually working together? And that's not a big challenge to be like, we're not working well together. God's faithful. He's always working in our lives. But just think about what that is, because we're all united around Christ, right? So before we get into our story, I want to read 2 Corinthians 12, 12 through 26, which is a lot of verses. But it's all talking about the body of Christ. So if you want to turn there, go ahead. I'm just going to read it out and then pray for our time. So be thinking about those questions as I read that. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Lord, I just pray that we can go to you this morning and think and contemplate about this beautiful thing, the body of Christ, that is only here because of your grace and your sacrifice to us, Lord, and that we're redeemed. What a privilege it is to be a part of the body. And Lord, I just pray that we'll be encouraged with how the body is cooperating in the world. And we can think and contemplate what it is today that we should be doing as a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk about our story first. So you know who we are. Introduce us a little bit. Okay, so I grew up in Jersey Shore, and my parents are missionaries as well. And so I grew up down at Wyoming down there. And so basically, I've been here since I was about 10, and Pennsylvania is now, this is my home. And I mentioned that because 5 years ago, my parents moved to New Guinea, and that ends up being a part of our story. And then Julia was born and raised in Cogan Station, and we met up at Community Baptist Church in youth group. This was like a crazy sweater night or something. So we've been together longer than we've been apart, I think. So we finally crossed that threshold, which is cool. So Julia and I, we met in youth group, and we just became really good friends. And, youth group for us holds a lot of significance because we grew up in the church, but those years for us really solidified, like, hey, we want to own our faith, you know. We want to learn more about the Bible and what God has to say. And so that was really, really important for us. But then after high school, I was like, okay, what are we going to do next? Well, we wanted to continue learning about the Word of God. So we went to New Tribes Bible Institute, and we did a 2-year program just digging into the Word and studying the Bible. And if you can imagine, New Tribes Bible Institute is a part of New Tribes Mission Ethnos 360. So there was a big emphasis on missions, right? World missions and getting the world out across, or getting the gospel out across the world. And so we were interested, you know, as we're learning, we're like, man, this is cool. Like, we would love to be a part of, you know, what God's doing to reach the nations. So we graduated, and then in 2016, we got married, and it was kind of like, wow, we got married, you know, like, because we had been together throughout high school and stuff, and it was like, okay, now what? And the next logical step was to go to missionary training if we were going to go do this, right? We had an interest in it. We'd been learning about the Bible, and we were like, yeah, let's do this. And it was funny how it's just like the brakes just boop. It was like, I don't know if this is kind of the time for it. Like, all of a sudden, we just kind of got these feelings. Like, that was the plan. But then it was like, oh, I don't know. And it's funny because we didn't really put our thumb on this. But in retrospect, we didn't really feel like we were church planters. We're like, how are we going to be the ones that go and, you know, go into a new people group and share the gospel if we don't, like, we just don't feel like that's our gifting, right? So we decided not to say no, but to kind of say maybe next year, you know, and so we took steps. It was like, okay, we're not going to missionary training. So we got jobs. We moved back home to Pennsylvania, and I started working with some contractors at church, which we go to Community Baptist Church. Just down the road. Actually, I said that about youth group. Yeah, so we're local. So I started working with some contractors there and just like diving into construction. It was really cool. I was just really into it. And then Julia started working at Dr. Oberheim's office doing braces, right? So there's a good chance that maybe some of you guys saw her at one point. So she did that for 4 years. It's really good. And then in the meantime, it was like, hey, before we have kids, why don't one of us go back to school? And so I went to Penn College for their building construction program and did 2 years there. And then I graduated in the spring of 2020, which was like super fun. Because we all remember that. COVID was like actually super scary. We didn't know if we were going to make it or not. It was like, what's going on? All of a sudden I've got, you know, professors that are used to showing you how to do something, trying to figure out their Zoom thing. That was funny, because they had no idea. And we were expecting our first baby. So Clark was due in June. It's like May, and it's like about to graduate. All of a sudden, I didn't want to be traveling. So like, and sometimes with construction, there's a lot of that, you know? And so it was like, oh, I need a job, and I need health benefits. So things got really adult really quick for us there, and it was good. So I ended up getting a job through a guy at church, a good friend of mine, at Lewis Lumber Products out in Picture Rocks. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But manufacturing, not what I had in mind. You know, I thought I was going to take what I had just learned and then go, you know, go do that for a living. And so God had different plans. I was so glad to have this job just because it took care of us, you know. But man, I did not expect to be in manufacturing all of a sudden. And so we were making crown moldings on these machines and just lumber, hardwood lumber. But I ended up working there for about 3.5 years and actually really enjoyed it. There's incredible lessons to be learned in manufacturing and just really good people. It was a good experience. About a year February, so like a little over a year ago, year and a half, I got the chance to go and visit my parents in Papua New Guinea because that's where they had been serving. And it was a really cool story, but how that got provided, that was like kind of a miracle that I got to go. So I got to go see them and then also just see, hey, like how does this work over here? And that is where we'll pause our story for now, and we'll pick it up there a little bit later. But I just want to talk about the state of the world. It's in darkness, right? Adam and Eve, creation was made perfect and beautiful, and they fell, right? And we were disconnected from the life source, cut off. And that is where we stay, but not even 3 chapters into the Bible, Genesis 3:15, as God was punishing the serpent in the garden, he said, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Took that long for God to promise redemption, that he was going to send someone in to make it right. And we know what that is, right? We know who that is, and we know that the Redeemer has come. It's Jesus, and through his sacrifice, we are able to be reconnected to the vine, right? And so we've been brought out of darkness into light. And then this miracle happened here, too, where now God creates this new thing, the body of Christ, right? Which is really amazing. So we're all now a part of the body of Christ, and he also gave instructions to the church, right? Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we are to be the light to the others that don't have it, because for many people in the world, this is where they're at. They still haven't received the light, and we are to be the light to them, right? And the need is great. There are there's 6,000 people groups that are unreached, and we need to bring it to them. So that sounds kind of gloomy sometimes. It sounds also like a lot of pressure. It's like, okay, we're the church. We got to go do it. And we just kind of start like, okay, we're going to try to do it. I don't know, like, you know. But we've been given every gift to go and do that, right? We have the Spirit. Man, we have the truth. And so it's an exciting time to be alive, right? So I threw a picture of an iPhone and Starlink up there because those are like the newest things, right? These crazy things. But if you just think about it, the Great Commission was given 2,000 years ago, right? But in the last 200 years, the world has seen more change than ever before. And it's kind of incredible. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, like our generations change so quick. Like gone are the days when, you know, your dad had a trade and you just learned that, right? And that ended up being your last name, you know? That isn't anymore. Now, our generations can't even communicate sometimes because it's so much change, one generation to the next. And so these incredible things, like the iPhone's not even 20 years old. Isn't that crazy? Like, amazing. And Starlink I put up there because Starlink's coming to New Guinea this year, which is amazing, just crazy. When I was a kid, like if they wanted to, you want to get a message out from the tribe, you had to send an email through the radio. I don't know how that works, but That's me. I remember that, you know? So incredible. So it's not that we focus on, oh, look at all the fun things that are out there now, but look at what else is happening so that we can now move forward with the Great Commission, right? Things like these. These are modern marvels, man. But we've got bush helicopters and planes, and now we can go and reach some of these places that were totally inaccessible, that have people that are in darkness, right? So it's an exciting time to be alive. And so what does it look like to spread the good news in 2024? Abroad, let's say, right? So our organization, Ethnos 360, their specific desire is to bring the gospel to every unreached people group in the world. And it's just cool when you just like think about, like as we'll talk, like how we can do that, and then you extrapolate that. Like, we could do this in our generation. Like, it's totally possible. An exciting time to be alive. So this is just one of the ways God's using. God's using all kinds of different organizations and churches and everything, but we're just going to focus in on one organization and one place. So Papua New Guinea, I really like maps. Every time I look at this thing, I just decide not to cut the pictures out because I like them. So if you don't know, Australia is kind of pointing up to that orange country. That is Papua New Guinea. It's half of an island, basically. The other side is Indonesia. And for scale, that's the size of Pennsylvania versus New Guinea. And there are 800-plus languages in this country, which is insane, right? If there's 6,000 people groups left to reach, and 800 of them are in half of this island, that's just amazing. There's no other place in the world that has so many languages so close. It's like being in Montoursville, speaking English, and then down in Muncie, they speak Chinese. Like, it's crazy. But there's like 10 million people there, and it's very friendly to the gospel because the Americans actually were a huge part of liberating Papua New Guinea from the Japanese in World War II. And they just hold on to that. So it's kind of unique, too, because not many places in the world are people actually like, yeah, America, but they love us. So the doors are wide open, right? And it's like, let's go get them. So, yeah. Now, this is hard to see. There's a lot of little dots in there. And those are all the different works that we're involved with as a mission in New Guinea. So we're going to zoom in here. And this is the Central Highlands region. This is where we're going to be living. So, oh yeah, you can barely see that, but there's a three right in the middle with a circle around it, and that is Lapilo Center. That's where Julie and I are going to be working. But I want to introduce you to a people group that you actually already know about as a church here. You guys have been a part of this people group over here on the side. This is the Dinangit people, and you guys as a church support Ralph and Ellie Schlegel, and they were part of the team that reached them with the gospel. So you're no strangers to this, and you're actually just like you are a part of that, which is really cool. So they were reached about 15 years ago, somewhere in there, and you know, they were just talking, and they were like, hey, is there other people that don't have the gospel as well? Because, you know, we're reading our Bibles and we're seeing like, hey, we're supposed to go and share. Is there other people out there? Because they didn't even know, right? It's very isolated right here up in the mountains, and I'll show you a video, you guys will see. So they were expressing a desire to go and like be a part of the Great Commission themselves, right? And so this people group over here, this is the Uduwa people, and we're going to hear from the people, the missionaries that are going to go and reach them. And it's neat because the elders from the Dinangit people and Ralph Schlegel, the guys that you guys support, were a part of this trip. So you'll see them in the video here. So we've got just a 3-minute video. I'll go ahead and play it now. Oh yeah, that's, there you go, yeah. Man, isn't that cool? The gospel is coming to these guys. You just saw their faces, right? They're still in darkness, but the gospel is coming to them. And it's because of the cooperation of the body. Incredible. And if you're wondering, like, how are they talking to them? I thought they didn't know their language. Well, right? Well, they're speaking through the trade language, Pidgin English, right? Or it's kind of related to English, actually. But, so they're able to communicate, but they think in the Udawa language. That's what they speak normally, and they can kind of make it by. It's like going to, you know, Spanish class for 2 years. So it's like you can kind of like, hola, like I know how to talk a little bit. But we want them to hear the word of God in their heart language, how they can understand it the best way. So there you go. Luke and Nathan, they said they're going to do four things, right? Let's see if I can find it. They're going to learn their language. They're going to teach them how to read and write. They're going to translate the word of God. And then they're going to teach them what it means, what the good news is. That's pretty cool. But that's also a lot, right? Okay, so we've got our church planners, Luke and Nathan. And you heard at the end of the video there, they said, like, okay, so, like, we're planning to build our houses soon. So do we expect them to be able to build their houses as well? You know? Like, jack of all trades. Like, you're gonna hike through that jungle. You're going to get there. You're going to build the house. And then you're going to go do these four things. No, of course not. Like, so this is where it comes back into what we were talking about. 1 Corinthians 12:18 through 19. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body, right? So these guys, they need a whole team, an entire support apparatus, different parts of the body cooperating together so that they can go do that, right? They've signed up. They're endeavoring to go do that, right? But they said that they were going to go build their house. So this was in November when this took place. And I want to introduce you to this guy. This is Josh Simmons. He's another member of Tech Services, okay? And he went with the Udawa, with those languages to the Udawa village and was like, hey, like, now it's a system. It's like, okay, you're going to build your houses? Great. We've got guys that can do that. Josh flies in with a couple other guys, and they start building their houses, right? So here's just a couple of build picks. This was back in March and April, I believe. And so just like that, here they are building these houses so that Luke and Nathan and their families can go and minister to these people. Solar water heaters, just to give you an idea. This is the other kind of stuff that we have to figure out and learn. And, of course, you know, solar power. So that's what our team is going to do. We're like, hey, if we've got skills, let's go and meet those needs. And it took them less than 2 months with a couple of different trips in and out to go and get these houses done. And now they're in their houses and they're starting those four things. And so it's just cool because it's grease in the gears, right? It's like, man, we want to go reach these people. But it's like, okay, we need to build houses. We could be stuck on that for a while, right? Trying to figure out a build team to come from the States or whatever. But because of the cooperation of the body in different parts, it's like, okay, hey, the builders will move in. So just to give you a little bit more on what Tech Services does, it's not just new builds and stuff. A lot could be renovations. So, like, you know, they're living in the jungle. Some areas have termites, different things. Like, they might need some help. Or they have a baby, and it's like, hey, now we're too small. Can we put a little addition on here? Because these are, you know, 15, 20-year works. So we do that, but also, if they've got this whole support apparatus, right? So I just talked about Tech Services. But we talked about airplanes and helicopters. We need pilots. We need mechanics. We need accountants. We need... what else did I say? There's a million different things that we need. And so where are those guys going to live? Because they need to be in country as well. Well, this is Lapi-Lo Center. This is just an aerial shot of where we're going to be living. Look how many buildings are there, right? If you just think there's no plumber, there's no electrician, we are it. We have to supply that for ourselves. So when we're not on bush builds, that's what we'll be doing, is helping to maintain these centers. And this is the headquarters, but there's also, I believe, four other support centers. So there's a huge need for that. So that takes us back to this, right? So I go over there, and I'm hanging out with my family, and I'm just kind of seeing how things are working. And I hear about this tech services team. I had heard about it a little bit, but here I am. Now I'm boots on the ground, and I'm talking to some people, and it's like, hey, I'm kind of interested in this. Like, is this something maybe I could be a part of? And they were like, absolutely. Like, we really need people to come and do this. And I was like, I think I could do that. Like, you know, the longer I was there, I was like, man, I think maybe this is what we could be doing. We said no to missionary training back here because we didn't see kind of like what our role would be. And we didn't think we were going to be church planters, but maybe we could be a part of tech services. And so through conversation with them, they also introduced us to this new thing that we didn't know about called associate missions. And basically, that is, hey, you've got a set of skills. We want to get you over there now, you know, because the missionary training equips you to go and live in the bush by yourself and reach a people group, learning linguistics and different things, how languages work. And they're like, you don't need that, though. We want you to just come. And so that was huge, because as we were considering this, it's like, man, I don't know how we were going to figure out going to missionary training. But they're like, no, sign up as associates, and then you can raise your support, and you can come on over. And so this last year has been kind of a whirlwind, because I got off the plane, jet lagged, and I'm like, Julia, think about this. This is crazy. Like, this might work. And she was like, wow, like, okay. That actually answered a lot of her concerns, too, at this associate route. And so we're like, man, I think we're going to sign up. And it was pretty quick. It's like kind of shocking still. So the thing is, like, we're committing to 2 years. And then at that point, we can re-up and become career missionaries. Or, frankly, we can rejoin our churches. And we will have that perspective to be able to share with the rest of the body here locally. But day-to-day, what it'll look like for us is we'll be living at the headquarters there and maintaining Lapi-Lo Center. And a lot of that will actually also be cooperation with the PNG citizens. So we have a lot of people that work for us and are working to maintain these buildings. So day in and day out, that's what I'll be doing. So when we go over, we got to learn the language as well, and we'll be working with them. And then Julia, like, this is so cool. We have a dental clinic there as well, and so she's really excited to use the skills that she had to be able to help out with the dental clinic, and then as well as watching the kids and stuff. So that's put us on this trajectory. We went and we joined the mission, and they're like, okay, go and raise your support. And so that's what we've been doing, partnership development, raising up partners. And so I put this giant, big, bold letters, finances, to kind of demystify this whole thing, because it's really uncomfortable, right? And we all get like, oh, man. But no, this is God's method. This is how we cooperate as different parts of the body, because we can't go. Luke and Nathan can't go be church planners. We can't go as tech services without cooperation of the body, without partners, right? And so it's not even me right now relying on like the way I say it, being gentle and all that. No, this is what God does. So we're just presenting the needs that we have, and we are relying on the body. God's the provider, so it's no pressure on me or you, right? How is he going to use us? So this is what it costs. This is what they told us. We need $7,725 a month. And if that shocks you, like most people, I have a handout for you. So if you go to our if you go to our table in the back, there's a bunch of packets. So go ahead and grab one. And I put, why so expensive? Seriously, right? Because there's like, wait, I thought you were going to kind of a third world country. Shouldn't that be like cheaper? Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons that I won't get into now, but it's actually quite expensive. So go check that out. But I'm just happy to say, you know, God has just been faithful to us. Like we're currently at 64% of our support. And we're continuing to drive to 100. But our mission requires 75%. So we can't go until we get that last 11%. So just for reference. And this might make it a little bit easier to kind of wrap your mind around. $75 a month is about 1%. And so we're 11% from being able to go. So if you could be praying for us, This is an old slide, actually. This is to update it. We were praying for our paperwork. We were actually planning to go in August this month. Like 2 weeks ago, we were planning to ship over, but our visas didn't come in. And so that was kind of easy, actually. It was a big red line. It's like, okay, you're not going. All right, that's fine. So we didn't have to like struggle with that, which was really nice. But also then our support. So if you'd be praying for us, our visas did come in. That's why it's old. Sorry. Our visas did come in, so we now have that, and we're done with paperwork. We're just ready to roll as soon as we get our support up. But yeah, just be praying for us that our, you know, our support would come in and that we would be fully supported so that we can be as effective as we can in our service. And then just be praying for our family. It's been a lot. You know, we've got, like, and I don't mean that, and it's just we're just trying to balance things for, you know, our little kids, and we're going to go move them overseas. So it's a lot of transition. So you can be praying for us. And again, like, check out our table. We've got a Facebook group if you're like curious to actually see kind of what's going on more regularly. And then we also send out an email update mostly every month, because I missed one last month, so sorry about that. but yeah, and then grab a packet. I think it'll encourage you. I put an insert in there that's the 2023 year in review, and it just shows, hey, what's going on in New Guinea, in the mission, what's happening. And also, we'll be hanging out for the Q&A, so wait for that too. So, to come back to what we were talking about, I know you can't see it very well, but maybe you can. You can at least see all those little lists, right, from the different regions. Look at the cooperation of the body. If you're thinking, okay, Luke's got to raise all of his support, one of the church planners. Nathan's got to raise it. We've got to raise it. Think about how many individuals are in each part of the body that's working in New Guinea, right? All of a sudden, just to get one of those dots on the map, you've got probably like 500 people that are cooperating. Well, like, look at that. Look how many people groups are being engaged, and that's all because of the cooperation of the body. And that's just so cool. So there's just a picture of that, right, in New Guinea. But what does it look like in all the other parts of the world, right? It's not just here, so you just expand that vision. And then you just go to your local level, right? Like, what's going on in Montoursville? How is the body cooperating to encourage one another, to reach others? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. So man, like, here you go. What part of the body am I, right? Like, and it changes. For me, it changed drastically. Is it good that God made me this specific part? And what happens when the body cooperates? It's just so cool. God's design. Does anybody know who this is? Nobody does. I didn't know. I had to look his picture up. This is your missionary. This is William Tyndale. And next year celebrates 500 years that we have had the gospel in our language. Isn't that awesome? Right? We forget that we're tribal people too, especially as Americans. I don't know what my heritage is. I am a mix of everything. But at one point, we were part of a people group, and we didn't have the gospel, unless you're a Jew, right? That was who the gospel was given to first, right? Somebody took the time to translate the Bible, and it has trickled down through the generations to you, and you can hear the good news today. These guys are hearing it next. And we are just, like, it's so cool. It's so cool that we can cooperate together. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for the body of Christ. Just sometimes we get stuck in ourselves and discouraged by which part of the body we've been made and designed to be. And we don't think about just that you are the great creator, you're the designer, and it is good the way that you've made us. You delight in the diversity of your creation, and we can see that everywhere when we step outside. Just amazing. Lord, I just am praying for the Uduwa people and for all of those in the world that are still in darkness, and I pray that we as a body will cooperate to reach the last people groups, Lord, and to answer the Great Commission, and to do that in cooperation with one another and with your Spirit. So we thank you. And we love you. In your name, amen.
And